Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish. Publicize your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Hello to Helen Wu.
Hi. Thank you, Dr. Mel. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited. What are you talking about? I'm so excited to have you on the program again. So last time you were here to talk about your life and your writing career, you had a beautiful book out, Tofu Takes Time, and you have another book coming out next year. But today we're going to talk about Helen Wu, the publisher. And you are the publisher of Yihu Press, which is incredible. I won't ask you how old you are, but I know you have two small children. Mm-hmm. And you are an incredible Wonder Woman. Oh. Great to have you. And so before I forget, my name is Mel Rosenberg, and I am the host of the Children's Book Network. No, the Children's Literature Channel of the New Books Network. I've only done that 60 times after practice. And I have with me the incredible Helen Wu, who is the publisher of Yihu Press. So, Helen, people are going to ask, how did you get to be publisher of a large indie publishing house on the West Coast? So take us back to 3 years ago and your chance, so-called chance meeting that turned into your dream.
Yeah. So first, let me introduce Yihu Press. Yihu Press is an independent children's book publisher, and Yihu Press is dedicated to creating fun, enchanting, and socially responsible children's book and the products for readers and customers around the world. And we publish children's books which target STEAM-related topics and international voices. And we also specialize in featuring books on culture inclusivity and the social emotional learning. And Yihu Press has partnered with the Shanghai Yihe Industry Corporation, which was founded in 2007 and published over 200 titles per year to create and sell children's books and educational products that promote the positive growth and the development of children. And Yihu Press has offices in San Diego, California, and Shanghai and Suzhou in China. And translated from Chinese, Yihu means peaceful and harmony. I started as a self-taught illustrator, and I self-published many of my own children's picture books. And in 2019, I went to SCBWI LA conference, and I met Yihu team. The publisher and their editors are looking for someone to take to be in charge of their US branch. And that's my background in children's book publishing and my connections with US authors and my experience in publishing. So my native language is Chinese, which make it really easy for communication with the editorial team in China. So it makes me kind of like the perfect candidate for their for their team. So yeah, that's how we get started.
So okay, so I know you came to the States to study
economics.
Yes, I remember, and you grew up speaking Chinese. Mm-hmm. And you mastered economics, and you mastered English, and you mastered by yourself becoming a prominent illustrator and a writer. And then you got this dream job. So what I want to know is, like, how you felt when you met this fellow. Did you know him before?
No, I didn't know him at all. And when I first met the editors, I actually submitted the manuscript to them. And they're actually, no, we are looking for someone to, you know, take care of the business side of this branch, not just publishing a book for you as an author. So so it took us like a few months to, you know, get back and forth, because at first they are kind of like a little bit worried. I only want to publish my own book, because, you know, I started as an author illustrator, but then I really learned it's this business is really, you have so many things you need to learn. And even you want to be successful as an author, you need to learn so many things that you didn't know until you get involved in every step of bookmaking. And it's really a teamwork. You got to work with editors, with copy editors and, you know, developmental editors, and also with graphic designers and art directors. And all these things are something I'm really interested and I'm very curious to learn about. So I'm kind of like, I switch my focus from writing or from illustration to publishing and to this, the business side of publishing. So for me, I also adjust my career focus since I met them, and gradually kind of like adjust my position from just being an author to business manager. Yeah.
Okay, but you still keep your sensitivity as an illustrator and an author, and you're also involved in the editorial processes at Yihu.
Yes, absolutely. I think my experience as an author and illustrator makes me know what authors and illustrators they care about, and how the communication can make this, what kind of communication can make the process easier for everybody involved, and how to respect their work, and also try to kind of like build the bridge between editors, art directors, and creators. And also makes me kind of like, as an author, I'm more kind of like sensitive to what kind, what books, or how to add more commercial hooks to a book, or how to make add multiple layers to a book to make the book more attractive to readers and to educators and parents. So yeah, it's really a multi-beneficial process for me as an author and as a publisher.
I'm so delighted to see you again. So let take us through Yihu Press. How many you publish a lot of picture books, how many a year?
We publish, this is our second year. So last year we published 7 books, and this year we published 14 books. Next year we will publish around 14 books as well. And so we aim to publish around 10 books per year, so we can give each book enough attention. And since we publish the books in US and in China and in English and in simplified Chinese, so we hope the themes to be kind of like a universal messages there, and also have some like STEAM related topics, or have social emotional learning information there. So, and especially we are kind of like looking for books with a clever combination of fiction and nonfiction. So the story itself is like a fictional story, but at the end there is a nonfiction bad matter, so readers can can learn something new. So that's our publishing focus.
So first of all, I will tell authors that it's a wonderful publishing house. The artwork that you do is beautiful. The quality of the books. I've had the honor of interviewing now 3 of your authors, yourself, Rosie Pova, and Amalia. I can't wait to interview more of them. So you are owned by the Chinese company, the Chinese publisher?
No, it's an independent US company. So we partner with them. Yeah, the Chinese editions are published by our the company in China, handled by the team in China separately. So
okay, but in your process, when you get a manuscript, how many manuscripts did you get this year? A few thousand?
Probably, yes. We get submissions every day, and several submissions every day. So I think it will be a few thousand.
And then what happens? What's the process? Are your readers in-house? Are they here? Are they here? I'm in Israel. are they in the States? Are they in China? Who reads the submissions?
It's a really great question. We have two teams of editors, so one team in the States and one team in China. So both of our teams of editors, they will read the submissions. So the editors in the US, they will evaluate the manuscript for the US market, and our editors in China, they will evaluate the manuscript for the China market. If both of them kind of like the manuscript past the first round of acquisition, then the two teams will discuss how we position this manuscript and how, if there is any revision needed, and if they do it does need a revision, and what the authors add to about this. Since sometimes there were different directions of revisions, we need to communicate with the author how they like to proceed and which direction they prefer. We both teams will evaluate the manuscript individually. So we don't want one market be the dominant. We really want the manuscript can stand alone in both markets. And since the readers' taste is a little bit different, especially in China, readers prefer longer stories. But in US, especially for picture books, right now it's shorter and shorter. So that's another reason we want have the story, especially looking for stories with a clever combination of fiction and nonfiction. So in the end, the nonfiction part adds another layer to the story. So it's kind of make the book fits both markets better. So, yeah.
Okay. But I find this intriguing. And over the course of next year, I will be interviewing other publishers from other countries. And I've already interviewed a publisher from Israel. And next year I will have a publisher from the UK and continental Europe. Mm. And while I have you, I'm going to ask you what are the differences, between the children in China, the children in the States, the parents, the librarians. Do you need permission from the Chinese government to publish a children's book in China?
I think for readers in China, they prefer the content to be educational or has really some solid and knowledge there. They want to learn something there. And so that's why, we focus a little bit more on STEAM related topic and social emotional learning. That's since social emotional learning, we are all human beings. We feel those feelings, across borders. So I think another difference is especially when it comes to Chinese culture. I have read many best-selling books in China. The setting is in the Forbidden City, which is 600 years old palace in Beijing. And when a book is set up, the settings there, when it mentioned the Forbidden City, readers in China, they already know that. You don't need some extra introduction of the backstory. But for readers overseas, many of them never heard about this place. And you need to have some sort of introduction of the backstory of what this place is, what you expected. And for picture book, this is so short. You might need to take one or two pages to set up the backstory. So that might make the story another a folktale style or much longer. So especially when it comes to Chinese culture, we need to think about what kind of story, you don't need to introduce the culture heavily, but still readers, no matter they are familiar with Chinese culture or not, still can get the emotional core of the story and get the message. So I think that's one way to deal with the different markets. That's something we really need to pay attention to. Yeah.
So in your book, Tofu Takes Time, This is something that is very germane to Chinese culture. And maybe in America, you know, people say, oh, you know, food, you don't have to rush food. But you have other books, you know, Amalia, Masha Munching, which is, I think, about a hungry goat. And you have her monster book. So you don't, not all these books are educational in the sense of teaching people how to count or something. And then you have Rosie Pova's wonderful book. It's okay to make mistakes. And I'm thinking that's a little different from what we think about Chinese education. We think that in China, people are taught that it's very bad to make mistakes.
Oh, that's definitely a stereotype. So yeah, in China, parents and educators want to educate kids that it's okay to make mistakes, and it's okay to, and you should keep trying. And the most important part is keep trying and perseverance. That, yeah, that's the teachers and parents, you know, want to focus on perseverance and keep doing what you really love, and to, yeah, just working to your goal. And the success is not achieved within one day. It's a long time work, and you need to work on that every day. And yeah, just be persistent. Yeah.
Okay, so here comes the next question. This is so much fun, and it's so helpful to readers and educators and writers. Helen, in your website, there are instructions that go way beyond what publishers usually ask for. You have, you say, okay, you can submit, and we're interested in fiction that crosses the line and gives us some information about the world that we can share in the back matter. And that's okay and standard. Okay. And then if you scroll down, there's, okay, we want a book about an excavator, two excavators that get stuck, and there's a purple truck and the purple truck, and then the excavators get stuck. And, and I'm not being exact in the brief of the description, but it's a very, very specific story you're looking for. And you and I know as writers that we bridle when somebody tells us exactly what the story is about. And if you're an illustrator, you don't like when people tell you, oh, this, you know, we now have an orange truck in the corner and there's a little kid standing and crying 2 feet away. So what, can you explain this to me, please?
Thank you for, you know, looking at our website that detailedly and bring this up. It's really a great question.
That's my job, dear.
Since besides books, we are also developing merchandise. And, you know, I love children's book, but children's book are for children ages 4 to 8. And it's a really narrow age group. And it's a very competitive market. So we have the ability to develop merchandise and products. So merchandise can bring the books to a broader audience. And the books can add a meaningful message to the merchandise and make the merchandise stand out from, you know, similar products out there. So we are trying to develop more merchandise around books. But when you develop merchandise, from my observation that not many publishers doing this is that usually writer holds the text copyright and the illustrators hold the copyright of the illustrations. And when you develop merchandise, the company develop merchandise want to hold the merchandise of, you know, copyright or the rights. And since all these different people, they have their own judgment or, you know, how this art direction of this, you know, 3D toy should look like, it makes the whole process much longer, the communication really, you know, complicated. So for some specific products, we want, you know, kind of like a, have a specific content of the product, of the book or the story. And we kind of like already have an idea of what kind of merchandise we want to pair with that story. So that's why we have, you know, this sort of,
No, but, you know, I'm used to like Amalia, you know, like maybe you want to make a doll of Masha Munching or one of her monsters. It's like now that you've set the record straight, I'm expecting you now to show the audience an excavator. It's like, you know, we bought 300,000 excavators and now we want the story about them.
Yeah, it's a project that we are experimenting and see, yeah, how this direction is going to work. Yeah.
But it's very specific.
Mm-hmm.
The excavator, there's a truck stuck in mud, and the excavator comes, then the excavator stucks in mud. So writers like me, who abandoned the scientific career because we don't want to do things that are informational. We want to have the information serve the story.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But as a publisher, you want the story to serve the merchandise.
I mean, it's just one project we're doing. It's kind of like an experimental. It's not like we're gonna go for that direction for all our projects. So far, that's the only one we are kind of like experimenting in this way. But for all other just regular submissions, we still do that. Yeah, still. So yeah, we are really trying, you know, how we can come to do more merchandise and how to bring books to create a multi-dimensional reading experience around book. Because usually for other publishers, only when your book become a best-selling book and have three or more sequels, and they will consider to develop merchandise around
the book. If somebody writes a book for your experiment about the excavators, then are they going to get a royalties on the sale of toy excavators?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, I don't have any ideas myself, but I'm sure some people out among the thousands of readers and writers that are listening now will have an idea. And it's really interesting to go to the Yahoo Press website because you have very specific requests. It's not only excavators. You have science fiction for young children you're interested in and series of books.
Mm-hmm.
And people should check this out, and also to see what the wonderful books you are publishing, because they are astounding in their beauty, and in the storytelling. So let's go back to the stories.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So somebody told me that in the States, for example, nobody wants grandparent books, for example. Mm-hmm. And then somebody from China said, "What are you talking about? In China, we love stories about grandparents."
Yeah.
So I've been waiting to ask you, stories about grandparents, yes or no?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think in China, a lot of grandparents, they get really involved in taking care of the kids. So they live very close to family, and they will, you know, pick up kids from school and cook for the family. So yeah, of course, grandparents' book, we love them. Yeah.
Are they so? What is the in Western culture? Unfortunately, grandparents are sometimes not respected, not valued. I see this also in Israel, that elderly people are sometimes cast aside. But that's not part of your culture, is it?
No, in China, people really respect elderly people and think them they have the wisdom of life and would love to hear their suggestions and advice for life. And I think it's a different culture, yeah, from Western culture, yeah.
But you have to bridge both these cultures.
But honestly, I think I have seen many grandparents' books in the States as well. So for children's book, I don't see there is so much, you know, bridge there for when it comes to grandparents' books. So probably in, you know, adult life, there were some sort of, you know, gaps there. But for children's book, yeah, I think it's definitely, it's kind of like a universal themes. Yeah.
Okay. No, I mean, there's lots of grandparents' books in the States. It's just that some people say that there's too many.
Mm-hmm.
So you're interested in grandparent books?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else? This is a chance, you know, beyond the excavators and the science fiction.
Yeah, nature related and the social emotional learning. We hope the core message is to something universal and encourage kids to keep trying and to find their own path and to keep trying and to reach their goals. So we next year we have a few books that demonstrate that in a school setting and features a group of diverse kids, and they have a goal, but they go through some failures, but eventually they reach a goal or even something unexpected. So we hope that we have this possibility to kind of like unleash those possibilities and also unleash potentials within kids, yeah, and encourage kids to keep trying.
So in the in your American books, when you show a kid, he might be Afro-American, he might be Hispanic, he might be Caucasian, he might even be Jewish. What happens when these books appear in China? Do you redo the artwork?
I think in China, I think half of the children's book in China right now were from foreign publishers. So it's really a very diverse children's books from all around countries around the world. From very different cultures and countries, and the art style, of course, reflected the specific country and culture or from the artists that come from that country and culture. So I think in China, as long as the art style is professionally done, you know, the art is professionally, and the art style is the children appropriate, and that will be fine. Yeah.
Okay, but you said that like in the States, picture books are usually 32 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
In China, they're longer.
Actually, they're the similar length, the 32 page or 40 page. It just on every page, the text will be, there are going to be more text there. Yeah.
So for writers who want to write more than 500 words, China is your place.
Yeah, but for us, we still want to try, you know, to find a balance between, you know, a shorter format and the longer format, or how to, you know, maybe the story itself is kind of like in shorter format, but there is a back matter there where parents and educators can find more information about it. Yeah.
Okay. One more question I have, and then I want you to say something that I didn't ask you, whatever that is. Some editors like anthropomorphic characters, animals, and some only like to do real kids. What's your take on this as the publisher?
We publish, animal characters and real human characters. And, as long as the core message is universal and kids related and also, focus and also fit our list, we love to see the submissions. Yeah.
So it could be kids, it could be animals.
Or even on non-living subjects. Yeah, we have next year. We have the main character is an egg. So
yes, I saw that.
Yeah.
So I want to interview the author.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love picture books about eggs. One of my favorite. I really haven't. Have I had an egg author? So next year we'll do an egg one. Helen, now I want to ask you to tell me something without my asking you. What are your dreams for Yihu? What haven't I asked? What do you want to share with everybody?
I really want to create a dynamic reading experience around books, not just books, but many things beyond. And we are like in merchandise, we are doing plushies, enamel paints, stickers, coloring bookmarks, giant coloring posters for decoration on classroom and for home. And we are even thinking about to do like those 3D model that that you can use for like blind boxes. So yeah, we really hope our stories and characters can fly beyond book and to be companions of many more children and teens and even adults out there. And to create this dynamic reading experience for readers and customers. I hope, we are working on that. And I hope we have more to share with you all in the near future.
Are you getting a lot of submissions from people like you who have Chinese and American backgrounds? It seems to me to be perfect.
Yes, we do. We do get. But again, like sometimes the story focused to introduce Chinese culture, which makes it actually, if we for books in China, readers there don't want to, or it's like too simple for them, or they already know Chinese culture. So that book actually fits perfectly for our, you know, for the US audience. But somehow it's a little bit, you know, too simple for readers in China. So we still want the story itself is not like focused to introduce one particular culture. It's have a universal message there. No matter people know that culture or not, they can still get something, you know, can still relate to the core message, the emotional core message of the book. Yeah.
So are you waiting? Some agents say, surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I'm interested in this and this and this, but send me something that you think might surprise me. Do you want to be surprised?
Yeah, of course. I mean, many, I think I've seen many submissions that there was something special there. So it's, I can feel, honestly, I'm always being surprised by, you know, how wonderful those, the manuscripts are. So I'm looking for, you know, to reading next submissions.
Of the 14 manuscripts that you're going to publish next year, how many of them came from agents and how many came from authors submitting directly?
I think half and half. So we do work with authors agented, and we accept unsolicited submissions. So So for author, we publish many of our books are come from debut authors. So that's their first book. So we really focus to evaluate the submission, the manuscript itself. So how the story is, how the, you know, the, it, does it have a compelling writing, have, you know, have multiple layers and have those really have some core message that children can learn from, can relate to. Yeah.
So at the beginning of our conversation, you said we're basically looking for stories with content.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm hearing you say, we're looking for stories with content. So you're looking for, I've seen the stuff you're publishing, and this is stories with content. So you are a publisher who you're looking for the story, right? Correct me.
Yeah. It's fictional story. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, with surprises in the end, and the end circles back to the beginning, and the characters are empathetic, and there's humor and irony, all the things that we look for in a really good story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then if it has content, it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and something we will also do kind of like to really bring the story to life is like we will pair an illustrator whose art style not only fits this kind of story, but also will our style is somehow unique and make the book really stand out from, you know, from similar books with a similar theme. Sometimes we, you know, there was just so many similar themes out there. But sometimes you can tell the books have very similar art styles, but we are trying to really discover new talents illustrators and also to see what kind of art style really bring this story to the next level.
Okay, so all I can say is that Yehu is very lucky to have you at the helm. Somebody with so much sensitivity towards writers and towards illustrators and towards the story and the emotional side, not only the STEM side. And you cannot deny that because I've seen your books personally and I've seen the books you're publishing. So you can say whatever you like, Helen, but you have a huge heart in your press. Last question. I remember. Why do you have an owl? What's the owl there in Yehu Press?
Yehu is it's kind of like a sound like owl. So Yehu, the kind of like from the sound of an owl. So we have an owl there, and also owl is kind of like a night animal, and we feel it's really a fun and animal to have. So
So does Yehu mean anything in Chinese?
It's a direct translation from Chinese Yihe, which means peaceful and harmony. Yeah.
Wonderful. So we're now at the end of 2022. I can't wait to see what you're going to do next year. I want to have you back when you have a book coming out in 2023. Now's the time to mention it. You have a dragon book?
Yeah, it's called Long Goes to Dragon School. It's about the Chinese dragon who only breathes water, goes to a Western dragon school and struggles to breathe fire. And finally, he finds his own past and a sense of belonging.
And is this book out already?
This book is it's already printed, and our team airshipped several copies to me. And I just got it yesterday, so it's a perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and Jews in China say Mazel Tov.
Mm-hmm.
I'm joking. Yeah. Jews say Mazel Tov, and I didn't know that because I thought it was coming out in a few months.
Yeah, we already got all of our spring books are already printed, and I received several copies of each book. So I will also ship them to editorial reviewers and our authors. And some of our books, including this one, have the back jacket has there was a poster there on the back jacket. So we are really trying, different ways to really utilize the format of a book to, this can be used as a decoration for classroom and for home. And we also developed like plushies. This is the dragon plushie. And here's another dragon character in the book. So yeah, we have enamel paints and stickers. So yeah, I hope next year we can create this dynamic reading experience around our books. Yeah.
So listen, it's been incredible interviewing you, not only as the publisher of a wonderful a press that bridges between China and the United States, and we need these cultural interchanges so badly, but also as a human being, because you are wonderful. And you yourself are, of course, like your dragon. I haven't read the book, but I have a feeling that Helen Wu is a dragon who is somebody who chases dreams.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I will work on it. Yeah.
No, I think you're doing a great job. So listen, this has been wonderful. And I'm Mel Rosenberg, the host of the Children's Literature Channel for the New Books Network. I got it right this time, Helen. Mm-hmm. And I've been interviewing author, illustrator, economist, and more recently publisher, Helen Wu from San Diego. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll correspond.
Bye.
You say bye-bye in Chinese. I only know how to say ni hao.
Ni hao ma.
Bye bye. And we say shalom, shalom, which is peace in Hebrew.
Bye.
If we ever have Yehu books in Israel, It'll be Yehu Shalom.
Cool. Yeah, hope to.
We should talk about that. We should publish a book or two of yours in Hebrew.
Okay.
Yeah. But don't tell anybody. We'll talk about it off camera. Why didn't I think of that? Have a great day, Helen.
You too.
Bye. I don't know how to turn these off. It takes me forever. Bye-bye, dear.
Yeah, bye.